It's obviously incredibly moving when you realize this is not just something on the news. This is real people who we know. So this morning we're making a focus of this right across Grace Church. So I want to welcome Bognor and Havant Sites, who are joining with us this morning live. And it is just so helpful to hear from Ray and Beryl, because, as I say, in many respects, what we see on the news, it can feel a bit, you know, far away. But these are real people. These are people we know. And our hearts break. You know, you weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. So towns like Mariupol, which you're hearing in the news, horrendous situation there. These are towns which Ray and Beryl have visited. And actually, the commission, which is a part of the New Frontiers wider family, has got churches right across Ukraine. So Ray and Beryl have visited, but there's other churches in Ukraine and indeed in Russia, where there are people who love the Lord Jesus. And so we want to stand together with them as we look through this morning. It's painful. It's tragic. War is evil. What is happening in Ukraine is evil. We need to recognize that. But we need to also recognize that we serve a great and mighty God. And we're going to look into that. I want to bring this right up to date because Ray mentioned that he's regularly getting texts. So there's us here this morning. We're worshiping God together. So this came through this morning. Good Sunday to all of you, my friends. 20th of February was our last church meeting together as a whole church. Today we have our people in Germany, Poland, in different places of Western Ukraine. We have 10 people left in Kyiv and an area not possible to get in one place. The good thing, we did not lose any of our believers. Nobody turned away from Christ and will worship God in different places. We will continue to serve God in practical sense and bring gospel to people. May the Lord bless you today and have a good Sunday. Isn't that moving? That we have people in Ukraine who are worshiping God, and they're saying more important to live for Jesus and serve others than anything else. I find it incredibly moving. Now, we're taking a departure from our Genesis series, as Tony mentioned earlier, and we were going to, this Sunday, we were going to be looking at our giving as we approach the end of this financial year and into a new financial year. But and then the following Sunday, we were going to just talk into more practical details about that. We felt this situation totally superseded that. And although we will come back to looking at finances, we felt it's the providence of God, if you like, that we had this Sunday where we could take a departure from our series and speak right into this. You know, 2 years ago today, exactly, was the last time that we were able to meet on a Sunday morning because of the pandemic. And we just start to come out of that, and then we hit this situation. So it's so important for us to have a right perspective and, if you like, to look at what we know. The world is changing and it's being shaken in so many ways. And there are many things we don't know about the future or what the future has in store. But what we do know is that as believers, we can have confidence in our God in the same way as our brothers and sisters in Ukraine can have that same confidence. And we'll come back to worship later on this morning, and a few people are going to pray specifically into this situation. But I find that we all handle these circumstances in different ways according to our personalities. My personality tends to be one of wanting to look at the news and explore every detail. Others will tend not want to know what's going on and carry on life as though it doesn't exist. I don't believe either are right. I think the right thing to do is for us to know what is going on to the world so that we can then pray into it from a perspective of how God views these situations. And we can have lots of questions. And I mean, many of these questions are being asked on the media. We can have questions like, how and when will this crisis end? Why doesn't this terrible war stop? Why is there so much suffering going on? Will it escalate? How should I respond? What about the refugee crisis? Should we do something about that personally? Well, lots and lots of different questions going on. And then people personally might be thinking, Financially, this is very hard. Our economy is suffering. Our finances, energy costs are going up. Lots and lots of questions. How should I respond? So I want us to consider, how should we respond? And to do that, we need to turn to the Word of God. So we're going to look at Psalm 2 this morning. And we're going to read all of Psalm 2. So let's read through this right now. And if you've got your Bibles, it's helpful actually to have them open, because I will keep referring to this psalm as we go through this morning. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Now, there's two aspects to this psalm. When it was written, the people of Israel would see that God had appointed his kings in Israel, so David and all his descendants. So there was a now aspect to the psalm of recognizing that God is sovereign and in control. But at the same time, this psalm is, if you like, it's prophetic, it's messianic, because it points ultimately to Jesus, who is the one who is the true king. And it helps us to look at how God would view what we should consider, what's going on right now, how we should see things from God's perspective. And whenever, as believers, we are perplexed by situations going on in the world, what should we do? We should turn to the Word of God. And as we look at this psalm, there's just 5 points I'd quickly like to cover before we come back to worship and to pray. So first of all, when you look at verses 1 and 2, there is an enemy that plots. War is nothing new. We've seen in our Genesis series that the origins of all conflict ultimately come back to man's sin. From the moment that Adam fell, sin came into the world. And then we saw immediately after that, Cain killed Abel, first murder. Sin came into the world. War is nothing new. It's always been there. And we are to recognize fundamentally that, if you like, when nations conspire one against the other, they think, oh, we're ruling, we're taking our authority, nations are going to try and usurp their authority one over the other, Russia trying to do that in Ukraine. Ultimately, the conflict is not one nation against another nation, it's against God himself. All rebellion comes back to rebelling against God. What is happening right now, this tremendous evil, is ultimately against God himself. And it's so important we recognize that, because we can end up personalizing conflicts otherwise. You can say, Russia has invaded Ukraine, and then you find that people are starting to point the finger at Russians in general. This is not Russians in general. This is an evil. There's a spiritual force behind what's going on in Ukraine right now. Ephesians 6 tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, we must avoid directing our anger against Russian people. Our anger is against the enemy who is at work to cause such evil and such conflict. And the same thing happened during the pandemic. horrible things said in the media about this Chinese disease. And then you heard things about racial discrimination against Chinese people. No. There's a spiritual aspect to what's going on. Nation rising up against nation is actually fundamentally, as this psalm tells us, it's rebellion against God himself. And we need to recognize there's an enemy, the devil, and his consort of spiritual powers who have blinded those who are in his camp. And where the true battle lies is a battle against God himself and his kingdom. And we see it throughout Scripture that God's kingdom is not of this world. I love what's happening out in Ukraine at the moment with pastors willing to lay their lives down and showing that good triumphs over evil. That is what is happening in the midst of this tremendous situation, a terrible situation, that good can triumph when it's acknowledging God who is king and there's an enemy who is out to destroy. So also, you see, at the beginning of these verses is against the Lord, and then the next verse, part of the verse is, and against his anointed. So when you're hitting this battle, that there's a rebellion against God and his anointed. Now in Israel, it was the anointed king. He was called over Israel to lead. But as we as Christians recognize, as we're standing up for the kingdom of God, there is a rebellion against us, believers, and the anointed ones. Interesting in that video that we heard, that once they started proclaiming the gospel in the East, that's when there was further persecution. And also, how wonderful to hear at the same time that happened, so churches were planted. That is what is going on. And so it's like against God, but against his anointed. So isn't it recognized that there is an element in which believers are being persecuted for standing up for righteousness? And this psalm wonderfully points to Jesus. Jesus is ultimately the Lord's anointed. And for all of us who are in Christ and identify with him, there is an element in which we are being persecuted and the rebellion is against us and believers as well. The enemy hates both, and both are there's suffering going on in both Ukraine and Russia. So there are tremendous suffering in Ukraine, but for every believer who stands up in Russia, there's also persecution. Different sort of persecution, but there is persecution going on. And we need to be looking for God to bring through righteousness and his purposes and his kingdom. The enemy and all the forces of evil and what is going on right now is ultimately against God and his anointed. Secondly, I love this, God mocks his enemies. We're told in verse 4 that the Lord laughs. How stupid, how foolhardy to think that anyone can stand against the Almighty, the God of all the universe, the one who's all-powerful and created everything that we see. He is the one who's in all authority. How stupid to think that anyone can stand against the Lord and his anointed. What does the Lord do? He laughs. In a moment, he could come. In a moment, he could come and bring an end to all of this. And yes, we're praying for that. But, you know, God, who is all omnipotent, all powerful, laughs at enemies rising up. And it's a dangerous thing to rise up against and challenge God. It may seem like they have their moment of glory now. But for every leader that instigates war, as has happened here, there's going to be a time of accountability. And it's a very dangerous thing to stand up against the Lord and his anointed. Don't they realize why God doesn't act now? And people may be asking that, why isn't God acting now? God doesn't act now because he's a merciful, gracious God. And the reason he doesn't always break in straight away is because God wants many, many, many more to come to know him. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation coming and will ultimately worship before the throne of God. God in his mercy holds back because he wants many more to come to know him. And I love to hear how there is growth in the church. And often that is the case. In times of persecution, the church grows. and more believers come to Christ. He holds back. The reason that God holds back is because of his amazing love. And so the enemy say, oh, God will do nothing. God, where is he? And rise up against God. How dangerous to do that. What a perilous thing to do. God laughs because in a moment he will come and then it will be too late. So to recognize that when presidents and world leaders scoff at Jesus and his disciples, they do so at their own peril. They may have their moment of glory now, but unless they repent, they face a day of terrifying judgment in the future. Therefore, we as God's children can have that same confidence today. We can be confident in a God who laughs at his enemies. And that's why the Christian response to such evil and opposition is to be courageous and stand up for righteousness. That's why right now pastors in Kyiv are doing just that, protecting their flock and other Christians standing up for righteousness, because they recognize there is a greater prize to be had, eternal life in God himself. When you hit persecution like this, it totally puts things into perspective in terms of where your life lies. What is the most important thing in life? And then we go on to see that God, in his mercy, gives grace to us. Just look at 1 John 4, verses 3 and 4. It says this: every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God is always greater. And in the midst of this, hearing these stories of, and there are other stories coming out of Ukraine, of miraculous intervention. And we've been praying for this. We've been praying for the enemy to be put into confusion. We've been praying that there would be protection. And there are stories coming out of just such things happening. You know, the logistics of tanks not being able to advance. Yes, there's still terrible destruction going on, but as we cry out to God, God is hearing our cries. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Let us never forget that. Let us never let ourselves be so taken up with the terrible things going on around us that we don't come back to say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And for Christians caught up in this conflict, there is a greater prize than staying safe. I get so humbled by hearing this. There is a greater prize than staying safe. It's to do the will of God and stand up for righteousness in the midst of evil. And we want to pray for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters and our Russian brothers and sisters who are praying for righteousness, that God would grant them grace and strength in the midst of it, and to know that God, who is in us, is greater than he is in the world. Thirdly, God is grieved by war and injustice. God scoffs and laughs at the foolishness of rising up against him, but at the same time, he is angry and grieved by the suffering that war causes. And you see that with Jesus himself when you read through the Gospels, and you saw when Lazarus died. What did Jesus do? He wept. Do you not think that God does not grieve over the injustice of war and what is happening in the world right now? He does. Look at Psalm 45. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. We grieve when we see injustice of innocent people being killed and bombed. When someone has just bought a flat 1 minute and the next minute it's bombed. We grieve when we see such terrible injustice, and so does God. God grieves at the injustice which is going on. God hates such wickedness. It's totally against his character of love and compassion. So to weep and to lament over what we see is totally appropriate. God too weeps and laments over what is happening right now. But not only in Ukraine, God weeps and laments over what is happening in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Yemen, and many, many other conflicts in the world, which is strange how in our media, one thing very quickly goes on to the next. But right now, there's terrible suffering in Afghanistan. Right now, there's terrible suffering in Yemen and in countless other places of the world. And where there's unrighteousness and injustice, God weeps. And so it's good for us to weep and lament. It's good for us to be serious, actually, over what we're seeing is happening in the world, because God wants us to get on our knees and cry out for righteousness to prevail and for him to move in power. God sees it all, and he has compassion on when he sees wickedness going on in the world and longs to see righteousness come. Fourthly, God is in control of everything. We sang it earlier. God is in control of everything. Why? He has installed his king on Zion. God is in control. Jesus is seated on the throne. This has not taken God by surprise. He wasn't suddenly caught off guard and thought, what's happened there? No, Jesus remains and continues on his throne. We may not know what the outcome might be, but God does. And that's where we put our hope. You know, I'm old enough to remember the Cuba crisis, only just. Actually, I was a kid and didn't really know quite what was going on, but I was around at the time. And everyone at the time, and many Christians were saying, oh, this is the end, it's Armageddon, the button's going to be pressed, nuclear war. It didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Because God was in control. It wasn't Russian presidents who were in control or American presidents who were in control. God was in control. I was working for the MOD during the Falklands crisis, and some of the things that I was involved in were managing military equipment and artillery computers, which were involved in that crisis. And there was things, what's going to happen? What's the implications going to be? I remember our first son had just been born, and he thought, oh, what's the world going to look like? Is there going to be big conflict? No, God was in control. In July 1994, I had gone up to London to the Romanian embassy to get a visa. And I had to leave my passport at the embassy, which was right next door to the Israeli embassy, and I was told I'd have to come back in an hour. So I walked off around Kensington Gardens, and within about 20 minutes of my walking, there was a huge explosion, and a bomb had gone off outside the Israeli embassy. Had I been there 20 minutes or so earlier, it might have been me who was caught up in that. But I wasn't. Why wasn't I? Because God was in control. And his timing is always perfect. He knows what he is doing. Jesus is seated on his throne. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know that whatever lies ahead, God is in control. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but he tells us not to be alarmed. Well, it's not easy not to be alarmed when we hear wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus says, do not be alarmed, because he says these things must happen before his return. Why not be alarmed? Because God is in control and his timing is perfect. And he wants to gather people from Ukraine, Russia, Yemen, Afghanistan, believers. He wants to gather from all across the whole world who will be worshippers of him. And that is the ultimate prize. We're looking for the kingdom of God to come. Jesus is in control. He will return one day, and he's going to return for a pure and spotless bride, you and I. So where do we put our hope? We don't put our hope in this world. We put our hope in the Lord who is in control of every single circumstances. And finally, number 5, Christ will be exalted. Verse 8, ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Ultimately, the nations of the world will acknowledge that Christ is exalted on his throne. What we see happening at the moment in Ukraine is tremendous evil. And we think, is it ever going to be halted? Christ is on his throne. And there's going to come a day when presidents are going to have to bow the knee and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And for those that are unbelievers, the future is very bleak. and very insecure. For those who continue rebelling against the Lord and his anointed, that is a fearful future. But for you and I, and for everyone who's in the midst of these conflicts right now, who is proclaiming Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, the future is very, very bright, because we have got an eternal hope. This world is just a slight glimpse. Our lives are just a slight, you know, breath. There's going to come a day we're going to be with Jesus for all eternity and worship him forever and ever. And that's a wonderful day which I look forward to, and I may be closer to it than some of you, but who knows? God knows the day that he has chosen. And our media focuses on one crisis to the next. I mean, oh dear, it's all about Brexit. And I was getting such a... Do you remember that? Do you remember Brexit? Just a few years ago, it was all about Brexit. Then sudden, thump, it's about world pandemics. Then, whoops, it's about global warming. And now it's about war. There's always going to be crises, but Jesus is going to return for a pure and spotless bride because he's on his throne. God does not want us to be in fear as though we have no hope. We have got a glorious hope, and that is founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits upon his throne and is highly exalted. The day will come when he'll return, and Revelation 21 verse 4 tells us this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Oh, don't you long for that day? No more pain, no more suffering, no more war, because Jesus is going to return and establish his kingdom, an eternal kingdom, where the Son of God will reign. There'll be no need for the sun because the Lord himself will shine. Oh, what a glorious, glorious hope. That's what we're living for. Jesus is going to return, and then there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, no more wars, no injustice, no pain, no crying, no death. And until that day, which no one knows when it will be, what should our response be? It's the last verse of this psalm. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. We are blessed when we take our refuge in Christ the Lord. What should our response be? Kiss the son, or in other words, bow the knee, acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. And we continue to lead people to Christ. We continue to proclaim the gospel. And we stand with our brothers and our sisters out in Ukraine who are going through tremendous suffering right now, that they might know the love of God. So if Simon and the band could come up, we're going to continue into worship, and then we're going to pray specifically into some of these areas this morning. With all this in mind, we worship, we pray, we give to those in need. We're going to give you the opportunity later on to give details of the Bread Trust, which Ray and Beryl are involved in, so that we can give and support out there in Ukraine. Refugees, just to say, we don't know what's going to happen. I just heard on the news this morning that the government is going to provide money to support people who would take refugees into their homes. We need to talk about that as an eldership as to what our response might be. So there's no area where we're not looking not to respond. We want to stand with our brothers and sisters. But what we do right now, we worship the God who is in control. We rejoice that Jesus has triumphed over his enemies, that he's risen, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's dealt with the root of all evil by dying on the cross in our place. And so as we come to take communion later on, we're going to remember that. So let's stand and worship God, who is in control over all circumstances.